The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
That's the newest look for the Backstreet Boys. The guy on the far left will be touring when the international global tour begins next summer. Welcome back to the program. You may remember 2 years ago, we were up in Kentucky, and we had Kevin Richardson on, and he's, of course, a Backstreet Boy, and he gave me such cred when I went to my Tuesday night karaoke contest, and he is now joined by his brother, except not his brother, but his brother in the band, Brian Luttrell. They are both members of the Backstreet Boys. They're both from Lexington. One happens to be a Kentucky fan, the other a Georgia fan. We'll explain that. Kevin and Brian, thanks for making time for us as we get ready to head to Athens for the big game on Saturday between Kentucky and Georgia. Well, it's not hard to figure out which one is which here. Hey, guys, thanks so much. It's such so cool to be with both of you. And I know a lot of folks are humming right now, all your greatest. Kevin, it's good to see you again, and I really did thank you. We had a great time in Lexington. And Brian, I'm going to start with you because I know Kevin's story. We sat together for a couple of segments out right outside on the campus. You're from Lexington. I know you're trying to play both sides here, but it's not working. How did you grow up in Lexington and become a Georgia football fan?
Well, that's, it's not really a long story other than, my wife is from Marietta, Georgia, and I married into a Bulldog family. So, happy wife, happy life makes for her, a good solid home front. But I have to say, make it clear just so everybody knows, if I were to make a prediction about the game using my heart, I got to go with the Cats this weekend. But if I'm going to do statistics wise and use my brain, I got to go with the Dogs. So that's just, I'm going to throw it out there.
Now, Brian, I don't want to be disrespectful, but, clowns like me have to say happy wife, happy life. You're a Backstreet Boy. You don't need to say that, man.
I'm not a, did you just call me a clown, Paul? I'm not a clown, man.
Kevin, great to see you again. Let's talk. I mean, I had a blast talking to you about the Cats, and it's interesting. We were in Lexington last weekend. Now we're heading to Georgia. So I know you're enjoying this Wildcat season so far. It's been great.
Well, this season has been, I just turned 50 last weekend. Pardon me if my voice is a little hoarse. I'm still recovering from my wife surprised me and had a surprise birthday party for me in Kansas City and had all my friends out. So I'm still recovering from that. But it's been a dream season for me. As a longtime Kentucky football fan, this is one of the best that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm excited. We got a big, tall task ahead of us heading down between the hedges in Athens, but I think we got a real, real, real good shot, Paul.
Well, Kevin, congratulations on turning 50. That seems surreal until you think about the fact that, Mick Jagger's 78 and Paul McCartney's 80. So you're still young at heart.
Yep.
Hey, guys.
Hey, absolutely.
I mean, let me ask you about, COVID has interrupted the world. We all know that. But what is the latest as we continue here, Brian, with touring and getting back to doing what you guys are so great at?
Well, that's just the thing. We're looking forward to get back on our summer run next year. We'll be back out. There's a lot of ticket holders that still have been holding on to their tickets. So we're super excited about getting back out on the road. We've got about close to 60 shows booked for next summer. And then we'll head off probably to Europe in the fall of next year. So we're just looking and itching to get back at work. COVID has put a damper on everybody's life. It's been a trying time, I think, for all of us. If I remember correctly, and Kevin can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was February or March of 2019 that we were out in down in South America, where we had to basically cancel our last show and head home just before the pandemic had really taken place and hit the world. So we're fortunate to do something that we love. We're just excited on getting back out on the road and seeing smiling faces and people singing Backstreet Boys songs.
Kevin, I mean, I know that people, you know, fans, we enjoy the music, we enjoy the live shows, but I also know, having spoken to quite a few musicians, to do what you guys do, you just don't roll out of bed one morning, even if you're 50, I say jokingly, and do a world tour. What type of preparation just physically goes into getting ready for what you guys hopefully had are about to endure in this endeavor? I mean, what do you do to get ready for something like this?
Well, we practice, Paul. We practice long and hard. we go into rehearsals for several months. If we're building a show, we starting from scratch. It takes us several months. If we already have a show built, we're just postponed right now because of COVID. So We'll go back into, 2-3-4 week revision process and get everything fired back up again, because the vocal cords are a muscle. And if you don't use them, you lose them. So we'll get them back in shape, get our bodies back in shape, stretch out. You know, I'll get back in the gym, get rid of my COVID-15 that I put on and get back in road shape.
I think I heard Mick Jagger say this, that he in a show, I don't know if this is believable or not, probably is, that he covers between 8 and 10 miles. Mick's a little crazy, as we know, but in terms of just physical training, in addition to the vocal training, Brian, what do you have to do to be in shape? Because, I mean, this you guys put on, it's not like you just roll out there for two songs.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The vocal preparation is a tough thing, because you have to be able to basically run around and be able to have support from your abdomen to carry that voice. We're hitting a lot of high notes and a lot of long notes, but also doing some cardiovascular stuff at the same time. So I think, like Kevin, was talking about, you'll hit the gym, get your cardio up, start the breath exercises and all that stuff, and then the voice will come. But it's just all part of it. You're always stronger, mid-season to late season than you are when you first start. So that prep work that we have to do on the front half is much more work to get prepared for it, because we're not 18 anymore.
you guys have toured for so long, Kevin and Brian. Kevin, is there any place that you have not played in the world? I know there are some places that would be prohibitive, but it seems like you guys have been everywhere.
We've been a lot of places, especially doing promotion and TV appearances. There are a few areas we have not actually done a concert, and one of them would be South Africa, that we would love to get to. That was actually slated to happen. We were talking about it before the world changed in March of 2020. So hopefully we'll get that done. That's a bucket list thing. Another place I'd love to perform is Egypt. We've never performed there. We've been fortunate enough to travel all over the world, and we have a fan base that's all over the world that would support us coming to both of those places. So those are two places we want to get to.
Brian, the connection of musicians and their fans is so unique. I mean, we talk about football here, but what do you think it is? I know this is, it's your group, but what do you think the connection is between the Backstreet Boys and this audience that is so iconic?
You just talking about our fans in general? Is
yes.
that the question? I think, there's a lot of things to consider. I think it was a good time. I think when you look at the early 90s, 93 was when the Backstreet Boys formed. So we're coming up soon to have 30 years come 2023, which is hard to believe. But I think it's just good songs. I think it's good timing. I think people know what to expect when they get a chance to hear Backstreet Boys. I think they expect a certain type of quality of show that we've continued to put on over the years. But it was good timing. I think a lot of will, you know, a lot of will and work. We talk about these athletes that get out there and bust their butts day in and day out to be better. I think that's what you found, or that's what we do. Backstreet Boys do that day in and day out, especially on tour, to put the best show quality possible for people to be happy and excited when they leave that place. So I think it's just that it comes down to the music, comes down to the time, it comes down to memories that we've shared over the years, and we come up with a consistent product, which I think we're very proud of.
Kevin, let's get back to the football game before you guys go back to get ready for tour. Because
let's do that.
I'm not being unkind to Brian, but I am confused by Brian because I know who you are, Kevin, and I just help me understand. He's pulling for Kentucky, but he wants to keep his family. I mean, would you give us an analysis of your bandmate here's rather confusing football affinity?
So he bleeds blue, and when Georgia is not playing Kentucky, he'll root for Georgia.
Okay.
But when they are playing Kentucky, he's rooting for Kentucky.
Okay.
All the way, all day.
I'm sorry for all the things I've said about you then, Brian.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, and now I know it becomes almost cliche to say who do you think is going to win, because I mean everybody always picks their team, but Brian and Kevin, I'll start with you, Kevin. I mean, do you feel like the Cats are big underdogs, as you all know? Do you think there's a legitimate shot they can pull this upset?
I mean, I'd feel a lot better if we hadn't lost two great starting D tackles in the last 2 weeks. McCall and Oxendine, studs, but Stoops has recruited well. We've got a lot of talent, a lot of young, inexperienced talent on the D-line. So our defense has been playing great all year. We're going to need the youngsters to step up on the D-line. I feel good about our offensive line. They're big, they're strong, they're experienced, they're tough. We've pretty much been able to run the ball on anybody. And, you know, now we have the vertical threat passing game. Our quarterback is tough. I think we've got a great shot. Would I feel better if we were at 100% strength? Sure. But no, at this point in the season, nobody is. So, but Cats all the way, all day.
Brian, that was a pretty good analysis. And when you guys are through with the tour, I think we have a spot for you here at ESPN to analyze college football. Brian, what about you?
I'd love that,
was pretty
Paul.
Good, Kev. Well, let me just say this, okay? As much as I want Kentucky to win, I do look, when Kevin was talking about defense, yes, Kentucky's down two players. And everybody's talking about Georgia's defense, man. They swarmed the ball. And they've only allowed 33 points all season. And Kentucky, they've allowed 105 points, I think, if my statistics are correct. Man. So when I think about the ball movement, I think Kentucky has a shot. I really do. They are 22.5-point underdogs, which I'm not going to go that far. But I think Georgia's going to win by maybe a touchdown. I got 28-21 dogs, but I'm hoping that Kentucky can really put it on them. I mean, why not? Why not? The time is now, so go Big Blue, baby.
Kevin Richardson and Brian Luttrell, two members of the famed Backstreet Boys, doing some serious football analysis here on the show. Guys, what a pleasure to talk to you again and to see you. And enjoy the weekend, and I can't wait to see you guys back on tour next summer.
Hey, when we're back on the road next summer, we're going to hit you up, Paul. We'll be on the road in the fall all over the U.S. You got to come up on stage.
Yeah, you're coming through where I live, so I will be waving at you saying, remember me? And you guys are just bouncing along like we don't know that clown in the front row. Hey, thank you very much.
No, we'll know you.
It's really great to see
thank
you guys.
Thank you, Paul.
What a pleasure. What a cool.
Go Cats. Go Big Blue.
Kevin Richardson and Brian Luttrell from the Backstreet Boys. I mean, I never thought I would be sitting here conducting an interview with the Backstreet Boys with that type of football knowledge. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, they have announced one more member on the world tour coming up of the Backstreet Boys. I could do that. Wow. We'll see. South Africa, Johannesburg. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Paul is in Georgia. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, old man?
We're doing great.
Well, that's good. I want to make a comment. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Really?
Yes, that's what we have with the Alabama fans, Paul. They lost one game, and they're just shutting them down. And I'm a Georgia fan, and we went through a lot over the years with Alabama, and they just kicking them to the curb. Can you answer that?
I don't know. I mean, Alabama folks are different, as I think we all know. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with James, who is up next. Good afternoon, James.
Hey, Paul.
Jamie, good afternoon.
Jamie, yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul. How you doing, bud?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk to you about Cincinnati. I feel like Cincinnati's overrated. I mean, what's your opinion on that? I mean, they've had their one day of glory, 9/11/85. We know that day. And Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. But do you feel like Cincinnati is a top four team?
I think they're really good. And, you know, I think what you have to ask is, could they beat Georgia? No. Could they beat Alabama? I don't think so. Iowa? Iowa's defense is really good. Their offense is pretty pedestrian. I think ultimately, I understand why they are ranked. They beat Notre Dame. But other than the Notre Dame game, they haven't, it's not their fault they don't play anybody. When you schedule Notre Dame and Indiana out of conference, that's pretty strong. That's all you can do. And it will be interesting. I'm still not sure they'll get in the playoffs, though, because there are too many good teams coming out of the Big Ten. The SEC still has at least two teams alive. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out more phone calls here. And Gary is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Gary.
Hello. How you doing, Paul?
Gary, we're doing great. Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I just got a few things to see what I've only messed up on.
Well, go right ahead.
Are you on? Okay. Hey, one of my first things I want to say was Bryce needs to learn how to center the ball quicker instead of waiting to the last second because of the delayed game and the wasted timeout. And then he needs to learn how to read blitzes and call audibles because all them blitzes, he should have been able to throw it to the running back or the tight end, because one of them had to be open because everybody's blitzing.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, he's very good, but he's also very young.
Right. And then the other thing is all our receivers dropped too many balls. I mean, you know, we dropped a touchdown. We dropped two first downs. I mean, and that killed us.
Well, Gary, I think part of the problem there is Alabama does not have two first-round picks at receiver like they did. I mean, they had three. They may have one, but they don't have three like they did last year. Steve is in South Carolina, or a first-round pick at quarterback and a first-round pick at running back. Steve, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
Steve, we are doing well. Thank you.
Listen, Paul, I'm a first-time caller. Been watching your show since day one. And, frankly, I wasn't too sure how the show was going to go from day one, but it has impressed me.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Paul, taking Cincinnati out of the picture, when you've got the top four, Oklahoma, Iowa, which one of those teams in the top four do you think are going to have the worst time or the hardest time running the table with their schedules?
Well, I think it's Iowa because, you know, they have to deal with the Big Ten schedule, and ultimately they'll have to beat somebody in the Big Ten championship game, whether that be Michigan, Michigan State, or Ohio State. And I frankly don't think they can do it.
Yeah, I don't either. And I want to switch on you real quick. Like, Paul, I know you've had a lot of pretty good experts talk about the playoffs and going to the 8 and the 12, but I really haven't heard your opinion a lot on the pros and cons on going to either one, or do you actually have a preference?
Well, it's a good question. You cannot make a fundamentally sound argument for a 12-team playoff. It's impossible because I think we struggle most years to find four good teams. So I say that before I say what I'm about to say. I am in favor of it because I do think it opens the window for a lot more fan bases to be involved. Now, is it the purest way to do it? No, but neither is the NFL. Neither is Major League Baseball. I mean, I was watching – I mean, there were so many baseball games on the other day. I really could not figure out where any of them were. But it does add excitement. I watched the playoff game a week ago with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and that was just a wild card game. But, you know, what's this really all about? And as somebody who does this every day, I would appreciate more people being involved. I hate it when – like I said to the caller a few minutes ago, Oregon loses a game, they're done. This guy loses a game, they're done. But on the other hand, you know, would Saturday have been as exciting if we had a 12-team playoff? Losing a game like Alabama may have had tremendous consequences, where if we had a 12-team playoff, it really wouldn't have mattered. Alabama is still in great. Alabama is still in pretty good shape.
That's my point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I just don't understand where we're going with that. I mean, I'm confused, like a lot of your listeners. And what's your opinion on 8?
Well, I don't. I think 6 or 8 are probably a more realistic proposition, but we're not going to get to that based on what we heard from Ralph Russo last hour. The politics of it just don't work, and. I mean, ultimately, whether we really think it's a great idea or not, we're going to get to 12 because it does bring more money to the sport. It brings a lot of excitement. But the bowl system is already wrecked. So we're not going to save that anymore. I mean, just case in point, Dan Mullen last year, he was in the Cotton Bowl, which used to be a game. I remember the first time I covered a Cotton Bowl. My eyes were wide open. Of course, I was in my 20s and Bear Bryant was the coach. I thought that was like the coolest thing I'd ever done. It was in terms of sports at that moment in time. Cotton Bowl last year, half his team didn't show up. And when he lost, he just called it a scrimmage. That's how things have changed. We will take a break. No more musical groups, but we do have Matt Stinch come in about 30 minutes. I don't think Matt's ever going to be in the Backstreet Boys.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glad you are with us here, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's talk to Harold next in Tennessee. Hello, Harold.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. This is my first time call, and I enjoy your show. And I'm a diehard Tennessee Vol. And I just wondered, who do you think, on your opinion, will win against Ole Miss in Tennessee this week?
Boy, that's I'm not dodging the question. I at the moment I might favor Ole Miss a little bit, but I'm talking to John Adams here in a couple of minutes, or about an hour, so I'm open-minded about that. What about you?
Well, I think our defense is a little bit better than Ole Miss, and I think we can pull it out with a touchdown.
Yeah, the issue with Ole Miss is always Matt Corral, and you know we've seen. They are going to score, except for against Alabama, a lot of points. And it is a track meet, and I think Tennessee's capable of matching them. It's just ultimately, we're down to a couple of plays in the game that will determine it. And the home field should be an advantage, especially a night game at Neyland. I think the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. Craig in Georgia is on the phone. Hello, Craig. Hey, Craig. No, Craig. How about Greg in Louisville,
Hello?
Kentucky? Hello, Greg.
Yes, how are you? I was wondering the opinion, because I live in Louisville and I'm a Kentucky fan, and the word is Matt Jones saying that if we, we'll lose to Georgia, that we could – projection that we could make it to the Sugar Bowl. What's your opinion on that, and how many losses did you see us having? That's all I have.
Yeah, thanks for the call. It's a good question. Possibly. The main competition for the Sugar Bowl is going to be Alabama should they fail to make the playoffs. So I think that's really the issue. And there's no way to make that prediction yet. Hey, thank you for the call, though. But it's a good goal. And I'm really impressed with the Cats. That's to put it mildly. Jackson is up next. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
So, being an Alabama fan, we've gotten kind of spoiled over the last few years, or actually the Saban era, expecting to win every game, and that's not realistic. But when they let go of Sarkisian, I thought all the talk was that O'Brien was going to keep the same offense, and he was going to have to adapt to Sarkisian offense. What I saw against A&M looked nothing like what Sarkisian would call.
No.
And how much longer is Nick Saban going to keep Golding on? Because he started to show some improvement in a couple of games this year. And, I mean, Saban's a defensive genius. Why? I don't understand why he just doesn't call the plays. I mean, I know he's the head coach. He has other
How do we know? I mean, what I don't know is what is going on there, because knowing Nick Saban's proclivity for defense, it's hard for me to believe that Pete Golding is making these calls independent of Nick Saban.
Right. Well, God, if they don't start improving, the offensive line looked horrible too. I mean,
they did.
They're talking about the last caller, a couple of callers ago, was talking about picking up the blitzes. That's on the offensive line too. I mean, they've got to communicate and pick up blitzes themselves. But if we don't start vast improvement, Georgia, that's not going to be a pretty game.
No, I agree with you, and I think the thing that concerns me is Alabama just seems like they're have they played more than two road games this year? So they played neutral site first game, which was Alabama crowd, And then you know, their two road games, they've been dreadful. There's something to this weekend is important just to see how they do in a different environment. Now, I think this will be a difficult environment, but I don't think it will be comparable to what – I mean, it's hard to find a tougher environment than Florida and A&M. Now, Auburn will be a different story. But I do think this will be a very tough environment. Don't misunderstand me.
What kills me, though, Paul, is I know Alabama has more talent than A&M has up and down the roster. But Colorado held A&M to 10 points. You tell me Colorado's got a better defensive scheme and players than Bama does?
No.
I don't know. It's frustrating, but
well,
like I said.
I think what happened Saturday, I've talked to a few friends out in Texas who are close to that program, and what they saw in watching the game and studying the film was the A&M offensive line literally play at a level that nobody has ever seen before. And I think that encouraged Calzada. We haven't seen this. Now, execute, you know, if you look at this game, there's so many plays that Alabama screwed up. And,
oh, yeah. I mean, they had players running into each other and falling down on multiple occasions.
And
missing assignments. It was so un-Alabama-like.
Yeah, I don't understand is the sequence. And I know everybody has made a big deal about the three-yard line, but you know, once you make your commitment on first down, I understand trying to be, to catch people by surprise, but it just didn't work. And you know, Bryce Young is not the same quarterback on the road as he is at home.
No, and like you said, he's young. This is his first experience doing this. And I'll cut him some slack on that. I mean, he's got a better arm than I've seen out of the last three quarterbacks at Alabama. Now, granted, he's not as accurate as Mac Jones on the deep ball, but his release is unreal. You know, he can get rid of that ball so quick.
And I said it yesterday, but
I just don't think Alabama just –
I think Alabama losing a player I think it was three plays into it on defense was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
There are a lot of big deals in this game. Having said all that, Alabama still had enough composure in spite of everything to get the game back in and getting, you know, and I mean,
yeah,
the hardest part.
They had the lead with 3 minutes to go. Yeah. All they had to do was make a couple first downs, and that game's over.
Right. The hardest part I've always thought in sports, it doesn't matter what sport it is once you come back from a deficit, you have to finish that. You have to finish it right there because you have used up so much momentum and adrenaline, and and when you get ahead, it should be over. And then Alabama still couldn't finish the job, and that's the frustrating part if you're an Alabama fan. For everybody else, they weren't concerned about that. They were enjoying the game. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Stinch will join us later. We'll get his thoughts back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
TD.
Hello.
Touchdown. He did not score. He dropped the ball at the 1 yard line. Paula is in Arkansas, and you are next up. Hello, Paula.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I haven't called in quite some time, but I was watching this afternoon, and I was wondering why none of the callers are giving A&M any love, and everybody is licking Bama's wounds.
That is a fair question. Because I think A&M played the game of the century, and we're all talking about poor old Alabama.
Yeah. And the other thing is the Razorback game with Ole Miss.
Pitiful me. Yeah, what was that? The Razorbacks? What about them?
Well, unless my eyes deceive me, they scored 3 first downs late in the fourth quarter, but the timekeepers never stopped the clock.
That timekeeper, probably dressed as Colonel Reb. Yeah, I was flying back, so I missed the very end of that game. But I'll see if I can ask Matt, who probably has reviewed the game. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Carl is up next in St. Louis. Hey, Carl.
Hey there, Paul. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for taking my calls. First time caller in.
Thank you.
I am a Tennessee grad living in Missouri, fall for life. And as you know, we've been looking for some good news for a long time. And now we've got some encouraging things going on now with this Tennessee team. I'm just wondering what you think about their upcoming schedule. Is this team for real? Will we find out against Ole Miss? And certainly with Georgia and Alabama ahead.
Yeah, I think what you have to do, Carl, is look at the schedule and see what's winnable and what's not. And I know that fans always think they can win every game. I think Ole Miss is winnable. I don't think Georgia and Alabama probably are at the moment. But that's okay. Tennessee's already done more this year than I thought they would do. So here it is. It's Ole Miss, Alabama, at Kentucky, Georgia. So that's why this game to me against Ole Miss is the most critical game on the schedule. Tennessee is going to win the final two games of the year. They are currently 4-2. So that puts them at 6 wins, which is really the goal, the key number. Now, can they get more than that? I don't think they can beat Alabama, Kentucky, or Georgia. So I think Ole Miss is their best shot. And by the way, 6-6 is still about, I thought that was realistic at the beginning of the year. Getting to a bowl game is good, but if you could try to avoid, what would that be, a 1-2-3-4 game losing streak, it would be really nice.
Yeah, I agree. And isn't that something, after all these years, my friends say, oh, you Tennessee fans all live in the past, and right now that's about all we have to live in, but just to fight for a bowl game is what we consider a win versus the years past when we were fighting for
championship. Try to tell Philip Fulmer, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, all you need to do is be bowl eligible and we'll throw a parade for you. Would probably not have gone over very well.
No, I agree with that. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
But you have to consider where this program was on the day that Josh Heupel inherited it. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Gene, who is in Georgia. Hello, Gene.
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Gene Urdy, longtime listener. I'm 80 years old and enjoy football. I'm an avid Georgia fan, and I can't sit here in my chair and understand the Alabama people on your show, especially the Larry and some of those guys. I just don't understand where they're coming from because, like I said, I'm 80 years old, and I've seen Georgia win one. So they need to knock down a couple of drinks on the six-pack and just relax in the easy chair because Saban will be all right. He's done it before, so he'll do it again. But like I say, I'm an avid Georgia fan, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, and a very sobering admonition to the Bama fans. Let's check in with Thomas, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
How pitiful was that performance for the Tide on Saturday?
Pretty bad.
I mean, the coaching mistakes, everything, man. I mean, I just can't wrap my brain around it.
Well, I think if it was a one-off, you could say, okay, everybody has a bad day. But you tell me, but it seemed fairly reminiscent of the Florida game.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll get our head on straight. We'll beat Georgia twice. We'll beat them in the SEC. We'll kick that ass in the Natty.
Wow. Yeah. Now, that's the spirit. I mean, just being completely dismissive of Georgia right now. And I like your attitude there, Thomas. That's the old Alabama way.
Yeah, Paul. Roll Tide, man.
You got it. Roll Tide. I wonder, is there any Georgia response to that? We'll beat them twice. We'll kick. You heard him. I don't know. You tell me. Is this your father's Georgia team, or does this team seem maybe a little bit different than we've seen in the past? Well, ask Stinch. He'll be here in a minute. Zim is next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.